You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast is now less successful than Ricky Hollywood.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Got all the heroes back together. Greg Rosenthal.
We back.
Mark Sessler. Combine week. We're holding it down from Los Angeles this year, but the coverage will be just as good, if not better. Mark, welcome back. How was your time away? There's a lot of mystery whenever Mark's away.
Oh, really?
Where is Mark? Is he coming back? The man deserved a vacation, and he took that vacation, and now he has returned.
Well, I pulled the old trick that Greg used to do, which I think I've learned is quite valuable, which would you often would do the right after Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do the thing. I'd wait till May or June and roll in like a car that rolled off the road. So
right.
It's like this was actually a next level move by myself for myself.
Smart.
Yeah.
Got you. I am with myself now. Got you 2 weeks off, so you are fully refreshed.
I feel great.
I understand that you were on a cruise during what is some of the most unfortunate wintry weather in this region's recent history. How did that go?
This is an accurate audible soundbite. Well, it was one of these cruises that you can get on for very little amount of money.
Right.
And I thought, well, listen, I have low expectations. But
by the way, just not for nothing, you're a successful media personality.
You have parking.
Yeah, but I found a great deal.
Allotted to you.
I just found a great deal.
Like it
just, you know, so it was like it had everything you need. But like when we got on, we were initially supposed to go to Catalina Island.
Right, beautiful.
Which is, it's a nice
glorious
thing. Gorgeous. And then down to like Ensenada, Mexico. And the first announcement, because if you go on these ships, like they just pound you with these announcements left and right. It's like,
especially if you pay like $300.
Right. It's like, we are wiping Catalina Island off the schedule right away. So there were no stops, essentially. And I think they spent the one thing you could do in a boat.
Now get back to work as Mark shovels coal into the engine.
They just spent most of the time on board, I think, trying to steer around inclement weather out at sea.
Right, but to
I
keep had you alive. It went from a vacation paradise scenario to get everyone back to shore. Without water in their lungs.
To some degree. I mean, you could always see dangerous clouds in the distance. But, I mean, I would say otherwise it just was fantastic.
And you know what's the only thing worse, perhaps, than going on a cruise during the worst California winter storm in 25 years? Moving. And that was Greg's weekend.
That was unfortunate. At first I was like, do I use an umbrella? It was a lot of rain. It was a lot of rain and a lot of moving. 10 years in that place. You know how much junk piles up over 10 years?
A lot.
You know how much I shouldn't have left a lot of the work to the last minute and did?
That's what you do.
That's a lot.
Most of it
is wet.
Well, it's good to have everybody back together. And this is a big app.
Made me feel like a real man, though.
You're doing a lot of lifting.
You were doing most of the man work.
Well, there was just like a lot of extra stuff on top of the move. We had movers, of course. But, you know, there's a lot of extra stuff in the scene.
Find your tool set and all of that leftover.
How did your wrench work go?
Emeka's more the handy woman around the house.
You're doing so well there. Yes, this is a very important episode in the offseason for us. It's Greg Rosenthal's Top 101 Free Agents is out. Hit me with a little celebratory horn gesture, Justin. Now give me the other one. I want more. I want bigger. Give me it now. There it is, the Top 101. He put a lot of effort into it. But maybe not as much as here because he was moving. So we'll go through Greg's 101, both the good and the bad. And I did study it at great length this morning, and I do have some issues.
Okay, great. And I'm looking forward to those issues.
I mean, it was published about 25 minutes ago.
Right. It was.
Right. You know, I got some intel, inside info, had the list.
Well, I mean, I had the list, but I like to read. The one thing I like, and I'm starting now, I'm bathing in it now, the nuggets, the little write-ups that Greg does.
I just chew those, and I just stick to the hard data.
Okay.
Player, number.
I've got some, I don't know if it's breaking news or even developing news. You got mad at me last time, but I just have an update for you. For the first time ever, my byline on NFL.com says, Around the NFL Podcast co-host.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I just saw that, too.
I didn't make that.
But
I think
at this point did?
I think they were tired of it. It said editor for a long time. And
I mean, I got to see what mine is now at this point. Because I guarantee this was a bang job.
You guys know this doesn't sit well with me.
No.
We all
it's
have
not worth it to us to name
hugely important roles on this podcast. It doesn't exist unless we're all pulling our weight. I am the host of the podcast. I don't like the co-host thing.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this was about you.
It is. It's about me. We've talked about this before.
I don't remember it.
You're not going to like this.
It's about me.
They actually went completist and gave me the same title as yourself and Greg.
I hope so, actually.
Well, that would have been obscene.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Because I will do radio hits, and they'll be like, Around the NFL editor. And it's not worth correcting.
What if it was just in all caps for you? Talent.
Whoa, this is weird. They updated Dan's, too. And it actually says, Around the NFL assistant.
It's apt.
You know, I wouldn't be here if that was the case. That would be instant strike material. All right. So anyway, Greggy, top 101. We're going to get to it. But first, let's do some news and get caught up.
I have seen the future of horror. Beyond any terror you have imagined.
Yes, Hellraiser. I mean, we don't have a real relationship with Tom yet, but at some point, as we continue to build out his nickname, which I think is going to have grassroots positive ramifications for the man down the line, because it's about branding. It's all about branding. Mm. It's coming from the new old Blue Eyes. This could really help Tom, but maybe we need to connect with him and see if he's cool with Hellraiser.
I think we've rolled out the red carpet for a potential, you know, association, connection.
Should we perhaps set up something where we have Tom on the show to talk about Hellraiser? I don't know. Or is this something, an offline situation? Either way, it starts to feel weird if we have this home run nickname and we have yet to even, you know, speak with the man. These are just things to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say
this is why you're one of the Around the NFL podcast co-hosts.
Exactly.
98% of the time we just connect with the coworker directly. This time we've taken a different route, but maybe we just explore it further then, you know.
We got to meet on the road of communication. Tom Pelissero, the Hellraiser, reports. First news item, transition. The Rams have had trade talks about six-time Pro Bowl cornerback Jalen Ramsey. League sources now believe it's very likely Ramsey is dealt in the coming weeks. Ramsey is due $17 million this upcoming season on a front-loaded deal, according to Hellraiser, that averages $20 million, and L.A. is in clearing cap space mode. So, Mark Sessler, would you give up a first-round pick for Jalen Ramsey
Hellraiser
in 2023?
I think if I were the type of team where you're lower down in the draft order and you feel like you're a Jalen Ramsey away from having a defense that goes from good to great, I think he can still be that player. I certainly get why the Rams are in the mode of moving on from a number of veterans, considering their cap space, which is a mess right now, their lack of draft picks, and just where they kind of sit in the universe.
Right. I threw out the Patriots. Number 14 overall, I threw Kendrick Bourne in that deal just for fun. I know Bill doesn't like Kendrick Bourne. And this was before this report was out, and now there's actually rumors that the Patriots could be in the mix for it. And I would give up the 14th overall pick. I don't think draft picks are overrated because you have that contract, and it's the best chance you have. Basically, those rookie contracts are what makes paying for all these veterans possible. But that's a bird in the hand. I think Jalen Ramsey's still great. And I was confused, like, why is this so certain? And then there's been further reporting that Jalen Ramsey is looking for more money. And that's the key to all this. You have to give him a new contract, and that the Rams want to and are willing to get out in front of this, because they're like, we're not going to give you that new contract. Let's just like nip this in the bud. This is how we got you in the first place. You did great for us, but we don't want to give that contract right now, so let's just trade you while your value's high.
And on the subject of the Patriots, remember, it used to be actually a trope during the Brady era that any time a big-time player was out there as a trade possibility, it was always immediately connected to the Patriots, and they do have a history of collecting high-profile guys, so it makes sense. Jonathan Jones, they moved to the outside last year. He's a free agent, and I think he's on your list, Greggy.
Yeah,
in a prominent spot. So they do have somebody that that slot could be vacated and filled with Jalen Ramsey. But I'm sure there are many other teams that would be interested at the right price. But that's true. It's two things. You're going to probably give up a first round pick, right? And then you got to pay him top of the market, and then you have to think about it. And we're going to get into it, the top 101 with these veterans. Are you paying for their prime years?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're paying for Jalen Ramsey's prime years when you give him a top of the market salary, and then it turns into a 2-year deal.
I mean, they're allowing some of their top performers at the position to move on in free agency a year ago, this year potentially. Then you're going to give up a first and then pay him that contract. That's a little atypical to old school Patriots.
The whole new
moves.
Contract thing, that's if he can get it, and he probably can, that's probably where the Patriots bow out. They like to get the guys when they're at a lower value. And if he was a free agent, he would be number two on my list.
So it's certainly better than your current number two.
I mean, he would be the best defensive player available, maybe two or three.
In other Rams news, Los Angeles has parted ways with Bobby Wagner. This happened after we recorded on Thursday. Always annoying. Wagner's release will free up at least $5 million in cap savings. And it could be more, depending on if it's a post-June 1 situation. Anyway, Greggy, this is a very interesting free agent because Wagner was everything the Rams could have asked for in his 1 year in Los Angeles. He was still Bobby Wagner, graded out very high on PFF and other metrics, and he will get a job, obviously. Then it becomes what kind of contract he gets. He will be 33 in June.
This was wild. He was a second-team All-Pro. Like, he was the best move they made last offseason. And this really signified to me more than anything that winning in 2023 is not, like, the only or number one objective by the Rams. They're definitely doing a reset here because there's no way they're better. And they're only saving $5-plus million. By the way, he's not on the free agents list now because they're doing this thing where they're going to cut him on March 15th, but I think they're trying to help him out, and his agents are wanting it out there, hey, save your money. Bobby will be available eventually.
Where would he be on your...
He'd be in my top 20.
Okay.
Levante David is right around 20, and he'd be ahead of him.
All right.
It's a good position in free agency, the off-ball linebacker, and to some degree. And, like, I think that Wagner, I mean, it was framed by Schefter as sort of being a mutual parting. I kind of get it. Do you want, if you were Bobby Wagner, and it's clear the Rams are, you know, shifting down from the worst title defense ever to what is kind of a change in philosophy for them. It's not just, hey, we're one or two major swings away from adding this veteran or that to win the division and go into the playoffs. It's like they feel like, I'm surprised that Sean McVay actually signed up for this after all the hemming and hawing about coming back at all.
Yeah, everyone should read our friend Jordan Rodrigue wrote a really interesting piece about Sean McVay on The Athletic and how the soul searching and kind of the collapse mentally he had last year. And they tied it together that he's like got his mojo back essentially. And he's excited about the challenge, but I don't know.
Well, maybe
I don't like this. I mean, I get the change in direction from the front office, but it's weird to me.
Well, look at it from a different perspective. Maybe him coming back, and we're seeing some of the results of that. Maybe he was like, I don't want to play that game anymore. Like, you were going to give up more first-round picks for a pass rusher last season when we weren't even in contention. Like, we need to start building this a different way. And if I'm a Rams fan, I know we're probably not winning the Super Bowl this year, but you know, if they kept on going on that path that they've been on, they were going to be a 3-14 team a year or two from now.
You just can't keep doing it over and over. And like McVay, one thing in that article I thought that was kind of self-aware was he talked about like the good version of Sean McVay can tug everyone along with him.
Right.
But he's got this other, and he knows that he's got this other McVay kind of energy, and it comes from sometimes when he says nothing to people around the building that can take them in a totally different place.
I guess my thought is like, why isn't that McVay going to come out again if they're 3-7 and looking at, you know, they have a lot of challenges. They're losing free agents like A'shaun Robinson, Greg Gaines, Nick Scott, Taylor Rapp, Troy Hill. Not all like huge players, but those are all starters.
I think it will come out. That's a problem.
In other news, the increasingly muddled Lamar Jackson Baltimore Ravens situation. Lamar Jackson has not come out publicly and talked. But Stephen A. Smith, a very prominent personality for ESPN, said on First Take that Jackson's camp reached out to him with the following information. And it's important information, if true. Jackson's camp claims that Lamar Jackson has never demanded a fully guaranteed deal from the Ravens. That's been widely assumed during this whole process that that's the holdup, that Lamar wants all his contract guaranteed and the Ravens aren't willing to go there. It's been reported that the Ravens' initial offer or current standing offer is only $133 million guaranteed, which seems like a lot, but considering what the top of the market guys get, it's not. Where are we standing on this, Greggy? It does feel more and more like a possibility of divorce is happening here.
I just thought this is the first time they've come out publicly, his team. And by his team, it's his mom. He has a lawyer. The NFLPA is helping him. But I think with endorsements and stuff like that, it's been his mom and him running negotiations. And for them to come out publicly and say, we didn't ask for a fully guaranteed contract, to me, it just was noteworthy. And I'm with you. It feels like a public back and forth now to the point where it's almost like the Ravens are laying the groundwork with like, see, it's not totally our fault. We got to trade him.
I mean, there is the NFLPA has advised Lamar Jackson to some degree and reporting out there. I mean, DeMora Smith also said at one point that he was trying to get a fully guaranteed deal. So it's some back and forth. And I know, Dan, you're a little tired of the mechanics around the whole
thing.
Well,
I'm ready. I think everyone's kind of ready
for
this
ready
to be
for it too.
Resolved one way or
but
the other.
But as a Jets fan, I mean, I'm with you that I feel like what felt to me like this will get settled. The Ravens will franchise him and they'll find a way to get a deal done. I don't know.
It just
more
like,
and more.
Like I said, it all feels a little bit muddled and, you know, much has been made about Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent. And but then you hear his mother's prominently involved. And I want to say an alarm bell went off a week or two ago when I read it. But I was just like, this is kind of strange. Like, so it's his mother and then he's the NFLPA, the union is directly involved in some capacity as well.
Advisory.
As an advisory role. And I'm just like, at some point, I'm just thinking to myself, like, you have all these different cooks. You know, why don't you just have an agent, like a high power agency that knows how to handle these situations? But I can't say whether he's doing it right or wrong until we see how this ends. It's just interesting to me that the union is involved. And the union also, for what it's worth, filed a grievance last season accusing teams of colluding to not give, quote, certain quarterbacks fully guaranteed contract. So they have a stake in it. So it's gotten kind of bigger than your typical negotiation.
No doubt. And here's the thing. I think them holding a hard line and wanting a fully guaranteed contract or something close to it makes total sense. We talked about this a year ago that like the only way for the quarterbacks to actually get close to what they're worth would be to play it out like Kirk Cousins, because we've seen it. The only time an actual decent like above average starting quarterback got to free agency, Kirk Cousins got at then a record setting contract, got guaranteed money. Last year, the only time we can think of lately where a young player who's in the ballpark of Lamar Jackson's talent was available, and that was via trade, got not only a fully guaranteed contract, he did it while he was about to be suspended by the league for like terrible off-field behavior, and he got it. So because you had four teams bidding, I think if Lamar Jackson was a free agent, he would get a preposterously big contract. So why not push for that?
I do too. And I do think it's a situation a little bit where if the Ravens, there's not a question about Lamar Jackson and the talent and what he's brought to Baltimore, but like that relationship, maybe they would be willing to part with him. Where another team's like, I don't really care if we have to pay him that kind of money or what we have to give up. If you're the Jets, for instance, where the owners come out and said, we are going to get this guy, and maybe you're shooting a little higher than Derek Carr, if you really want to become a Super Bowl contender, then it's like the picks, the money, make a lot more sense to another team that has had no in-house experience with Lamar Jackson or this drama.
And the one thing I've learned from this process personally is, you know, don't let the wool get pulled over your eyes when the team sends their coach and GM out there and tells you everything's fine. Because that's not the case with this situation, even though that's exactly what happened with Harbaugh and DaCosta last month. And I think it's interesting that, for instance, the hiring of Todd Monken, remember how much was made of, like, you know, we want to keep Lamar happy, we want him involved with the process. And then it's also Stephen A. Smith also came out and said, and this is a quote from Smith, Lamar Jackson was never consulted or talked to or asked what his opinions would be about the play caller. He was informed, this is your new boss at the offensive coordinator spot who will be calling plays for you. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of writing on the wall that the Ravens are like.
That's a gripe from his camp, yes. From the campers.
The campers. Let's send the campers home soon enough.
What was your camp? Sunnyside Acres?
Camp Happiness.
That's what we call it on this
things
show.
Were pure.
Yeah, we can call it that.
Before the world.
Well, I would
intruded.
Say that I would actually counter that things were impure at times. That was.
So that's part of what made it so pure for you.
Yeah.
Sicko.
No, it's a life experience.
In other news, the competition committee, they're at that stage of the league year where they're talking about potential rule changes for 2023. How about the push play, also known as the quarterback
QB cheek.
That's Justin's.
And then the extra gross one.
No, I stole that from Reddit.
The tush push.
Yeah, double
which
cheek.
Which I hate. Tush is something like your aunt says at Thanksgiving. Like, oh, let me pinch that tush.
We didn't need to bring it back into
don't
this.
Don't need it.
Right.
Don't want it.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
Why is your aunt such a freak?
She does. Aunt Logie pinches the tush.
She's just like running around pinching everyone's tush.
Hello, boundaries.
fair. Anyway, so the committee is talking about whether to outlaw that play, which has become, Mark, a really effective play. We saw it with the Eagles all season long, including the Super Bowl. And now they're thinking, do we need some legislation so this isn't like rugby? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Dean Blandino mentioned that it has too much of the aura of a rugby scrum and that the NFL wants to promote.
By the way, I saw Dean. Love seeing Blandino.
Yeah.
Because nobody dresses more different than you would expect than Dean Blandino, okay? Whenever we see Dean at the Super Bowl, it's cool jeans, it's big leather boots, high, it's a shirt that cost a good amount of money, and then maybe like a bitchin' leather jacket. And it's always like, Dino.
I had that experience at the owners'
Hello.
Meetings. Yeah, like he had an entourage, but you've seen him around Santa Monica. Greg,
that's
right?
True. Yeah, with kind of like a hard...
Not dressed to impress, though, when he's with the kids, I would imagine.
He's picking up the kids. But yeah, it's like, it's still... He presents...
Can I...
Aggressively.
Is he allowed to have a personal style
well,
outside?
Can I say something?
Yeah, I kind of like
it. I think he...
I like it.
What's the word? I believe he surpasses the idea of cool dad to he's actually existing in a plane where like I just cool. That's me.
Yeah.
And I think that's just surprising. And it was actually the same party that we talked about me trying to get the attention of the Rams COO. I mean, this party had some heavy hitters. What were we talking about? The tush push.
Oh, yeah. I think the Eagles are getting punished for being so good at it. A little bit.
Entirely.
Like Sean Payton's like, well, if everyone could go do it, like, we're going to install that, and every team around the league is doing it. Well, why didn't they do it? They couldn't do it. They don't have Jalen Hurts in that offensive line. Like, I do think everyone is crying poor a little bit because you have maybe the strongest running quarterback alongside Cam Newton in the history of the NFL. His quads are bigger than most of your quarterbacks put together. Like, you don't have that offensive line. You're not as, like, daring do in terms of how you call it. You're not as well coached. I don't think everyone would do it or will do it because they would be doing it.
No,
not.
You're right. And
so
like,
it's a little annoying to me.
They only made it
for being so good.
They only allowed it to become, they had a rule around it until 16 years ago. You couldn't. And then for the past 16 years, you could.
Good context.
And until this season, when was it an issue? How about like, why isn't the response, we're defenses, we'll catch up and figure a way to stop it. We have to go rule change it. I mean.
Well, that's a great point, Mark.
All right, Justin, I got our June 18th show. We open with Tom Pelissero.
Okay.
And we have a frank conversation about his nickname.
Nice.
Then we bring in Dean Blandino, okay, and we just talk sartorial choices.
Fashion.
Dean on fashion, and then maybe if we can get him sharing some maybe gossip nuggets, beachside town rumors with about Greg Rosenthal that maybe he's heard.
Okay.
Warm him up with the,
I don't think he's aware of my existence.
And then we close with Kayvon.
Oh, wow.
Roll him in. Hannibal Lecter style.
Okay. I believe that is the week of the NFL
media thing.
Media summit.
All right, let's make it 25th. I think that's a good June episode.
I literally would be at a loss on how to follow up with Kayvon at this point.
I think two out of three of those are very realistic gets for us.
Which one? Which two are? Which one do you think is not realistic?
The one who's been on the pod many times, three times.
I feel like he'd be the one that was the most realistic.
I don't. We'll see. I don't know what our booking department would say if we requested him again.
I don't think he'll. He'll remember, but not when they ask him. He'll remember once the conversation.
The minute starts. He sees us on screen, he might remember our antics.
The Athletic. Moving on. Great publication. Do nice work. Purchased by the New York Times a year or so ago. Nice investment.
Goodbye.
By the Gray Lady.
Yeah.
They reported that Russell Wilson last February asked the Seahawks, the ownership specifically, to fire head coach Pete Carroll and general manager John Schneider. If this is to be believed, the Seahawks then said, okay, bro, thanks for the input. And then they turned around and traded him to the Broncos. And here's how Russell Wilson responded to this report. I love Pete. And he was a father figure to me. And John believed in me and drafted me as well. I never wanted them fired. All any of us wanted was to win. I'll always have respect for them and love for Seattle. Focused on moving forward, best is ahead. Who do you believe? Who you got?
I mean, are you kidding?
Come on.
Kalen Kaler, Mike Sando, and Jason Jenks, who wrote this article, are all like incredible reporters. They don't put something that big without knowing for a fact that that's what happened. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted him gone.
Good retort. Good retort.
Hey, I'm Russell Wilson, and I throw a sexy deep ball.
Also good.
How would any of that just bubble up out of literally thin air? Yeah. I mean, there was reporting around how unhappy he was for years. Pete Carroll was at the center of it. I just think it shows, because the one thing that was the best part of the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll stuff out of the gate was that Pete Carroll and John Schneider went atypical in the draft to find a quarterback that, once Russell Wilson succeeded, changed the way we draft quarterbacks and think about quarterback stature. All of that was great. In the end, I think it unmasked Russell Wilson as where he is now, and it went all through last season in Denver, as someone overtaken entirely by hubris, who literally forgot what Pete Carroll did for him. I'm not saying it was a perfect relationship. It ran its course. It got ugly. It needed to end. But the idea that Russell Wilson is putting a statement out and had nothing to do with this and never said any of this or tried to wield his power to me is utter nonsense.
Yeah, lawyers contact the Athletic.
Oh!
I mean, with a statement, I don't think they were going to, like, fire him or anything. Most of the article is more about how much he dominated Nathaniel Hackett, though, in their relationship.
Yes.
In
which I didn't love to hear, considering he's now employed by the Jetropolitans.
Well, he's back in the Peter Principle good spot, though.
I hope so.
Down where he should
be. We can only hope that.
We can only hope.
Right. The idea of what Russell Wilson was doing, they were having these Tuesday meetings that he had all the players attend. Okay, that part makes sense. But then he started just, like, showing plays of, like, when he was playing well in Seattle. And they were like, what's going on here? You're just, like, showing us, like, hey, I used to be good. And
Well, there was also, for what it's worth, in there was also, there was a lot of people on record saying he worked hard.
Sure.
Clearly he was plugged in.
No one doubts that.
And it wasn't necessarily that he was, like, aloof and detached. It was just, it wasn't working. They did also have he had his office, which was on the second level. Like, we talk about shadowy league figures on the show a lot, and a lot of the disconnect is just about office layout sometimes, where, you know, we would be down in the newsroom with everybody else down there, and then you had these people making decisions that we never even really saw. The fact that the quarterback's office was where all the other, the way it was put in the article and was put well, like, usually when the players are up on the floor where Russell Wilson's office was, you're usually, like, being cut, where, like, your career is taking a terrible turn. He was up there with those people, and then his entire wall was filled with play designs and also motivational scrawl, which totally checks out.
Absolutely. We also had a staff up there. He had three people that he brought along that he essentially made them.
And Sean Payton
hire.
Said all of that. They gone.
Well, that was my.
Come on,
so,
y'all. Russell Wilson. Holy shit.
The whole thing that
very
he.
Very exciting.
He wanted Sean Payton as the replacement in Seattle. And so you kind there's the, you know, the.
That's the, almost the good spin on all this.
Right. Or the joke out there that he subconsciously tanked last year to get Sean Payton into Denver. But the first thing Payton said when they had kind of the meet and greet with him was like, wait, so Russell Wilson has got his own coach. He's got all this extra stuff adorning him on a day-to-day. Will any of that be allowed? And Sean Payton was like, absolutely not. We don't do that. Like,
right.
He'll be coached by my staff.
He hired a new publicist. And none of it would matter if he could, you know, play the guitar, as Dan would say. That's the thing, is he couldn't play the guitar, and it was like this unmasked situation where, yes, Hackett got run over a little bit, and that's not what you needed, but I don't know if he had been a great coach whether it would have mattered that
much. I was going to say, and this isn't really defending Hackett because he played it wrong ultimately, but the whole idea was Wilson was getting this fresh start, and he always struggled with the power dynamic and being used. He always thought he could be used maybe more aggressively as a passer and as a leader of the offense. And now he was getting this chance. And Hackett went all in on the quarterback. You could hear it in his voice in that press conference. Like, I'm okay with this kind of being a co-CEO situation where it's me and Russ because I know he's a stud. And then when he couldn't play in Denver, that was catastrophic for everyone involved. And nobody, I know, Greg, you were on record that you saw him as maybe in decline. Nobody saw him doing what he did in year one.
No, that's
which
why
was
I wanted
becoming one of the worst quarterbacks
out,
in the league.
Just because I think now we've just accepted how this all happened and you just adjust and get used to it. But it is one of the crazier stories we've ever seen.
8 o'clock delight. Widely presumed first QB off the board, Bryce Young. He will not throw at the combine, which starts later this week. Ohio State's C.J. Stroud and Florida's Anthony Richardson will. The Lions cut ties with veteran Michael Brockers. Add him to the top 101. Or do you?
No, he's not.
He didn't make it. He gone. Jags re-sign Roy Robertson Harris and Sam Hurd. Remember Sam Hurd?
Yeah.
Sam Hurd is out of prison after a 10-year bit. Sam Hurd was a major trafficker of cocaine, but also was a special teams player for the Cowboys. One of the craziest sports stories in recent memory.
In that order.
I remember covering this for PFT, and it just was wild because it was like you're used to hearing little off-field stories, and then you found out that, oh, being a special teamer was just a little side hustle as he was moving at least, like when he got caught by federal agents, 5 to 10 kilos at about $25,000.
That's a lot of booger sugar.
Per week, though. Per week. So that's a multi-million dollar operation. Booger sugar.
That's a ton of blow, bro.
I just looked at Dan's face after uttering that phrase.
I just wanted to say booger sugar. But I hope he's learned from his transgressions and
he lived
a clean life on the outside.
He served 10 to 15 years. It just was like a sort of fascinating NFL story back in the day that I feel like was forgotten.
Yeah.
They would have made like a Netflix movie about that if that was a thing at the time.
Never generated more than 314 yards in a season, but he did generate other transactions from what we understand.
Perhaps some addictions.
Yeah, moved a lot of product.
All right, that's what's happening in the news. We'll take a break and we will hit the top 101.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Every year at this time, Greg Rosenthal sits down and looks at all of the available free agents, both the guys that are out there right now and the guys that will be out there effectively, I don't know, what is it, March 15th or thereabouts, start of the new league year. They are his top 101 free agents. Why is it 101? Remind the audience, Greg.
Just settled on that as just a little something extra, a little lanyap for you.
Asymmetrical.
Like your basic sights, 100. We're going to give you a little something extra.
Right. It shows that you're just grinding a little bit harder.
And one year we did 99 and no one liked that.
Didn't grind as hard. That showed the work wasn't being done, but now it is. And we'll get to who number 101 is because that's part of the fun. You always want to have a bit of a name brand there. And you do again this year. So we're going to get into this, and Mark and I will share things that we agree with. We'll share disagreements with you, Greggy. But I guess a good way to start here is, and first of all, and this is in Greg's setup blurb, just so everyone knows, each when we talk about their listed age, it's where they'll be week one. And you see that on the website where you can find it at NFL.com/top 101. And the ranking will be updated as players are released and become unrestricted free agents. So this will change, but this is where it is right now. What did you kind of big picture thoughts, Greggy, before we dive into this? This list compared to recent years, is it a stronger class, weaker class? Anything else that kind of stood out to you as you did this exercise?
I feel like it's a bad class. That the drop off around 25 was even greater than normal. That there's always plenty of players. It's like a 1 year contract league, so it's not hard getting to 100. But I thought there were fewer above average starters available than ever, and especially pass rusher, wide receiver. You can't find anyone. There's right. No one available. The NFL is showing you what they value in who they won't even let get to free agency. Pass rushers, wide receivers, offensive linemen are not getting to free agency, especially tackles.
Do you think teams have gotten better about with the contract structuring and the cap of not letting these guys get to this point, to this list? And so
it's easier.
I think it challenges like the better team. If you're one of these, remember the Dolphins teams of old that would throw a ton of money at a bunch of players that we're just like shaking our heads. Like, this is sort of for savvier teams to dig through this list and find the guys that are the gems.
Yeah, now you find like the 1 year, $9 million contracts like James Bradbury was for the Eagles last year. And like, those are the nice deals that they slip through the cracks, but it's not a lot of great value overall.
It's the whole thing I would slap on the entire exercise is buyer beware. And just like you're saying, there's a reason a lot of these guys got to free agency, why they were allowed out the door. And in many cases, these are guys that are closer to 30 in many cases than their prime seasons. And the wide receiver group, I think, is a very good example. And there aren't a lot of good wide receivers out there. But like, if you're a team builder now, are you going to go pay for a 28-year-old, 29-year-old wide receiver and give him good money when, A, there's a chance that he's not the guy that you think he's going to be, and B, we're seeing increasingly that you can go get a wide receiver in the draft that could impact your offense immediately and be cost-effective at that. And there's one wide receiver that really got on my nerves that you had him so high, but we're going to get to it.
I think I have an idea.
Why
do we have to, you want to keep it a
secret? Why is Odell 15 on your list? How is that happening?
So position scarcity matters. Quarterbacks are higher. Wide receivers are higher. Pass rushers are higher than they probably would be because I think they're worth more. And unlike the rest of the receivers available, Jacoby Myers, Juju Smith-Schuster, DJ Chark, eventually Michael Thomas, OBJ, I think, has a potential to be a bigger difference maker than those guys. So you get him on a 1 or 2 year deal. We'll see how much he costs. I don't think that's that crazy high. You do?
15. I mean, listen.
I struggled with him versus Jacoby Myers, who I think is a really good player. You could drop him into any offense, and he's going to help you. He's a good route runner. But would you rather have him or OBJ?
I mean, I wouldn't take either of them.
Why not?
I think Myers is fine. It has to be a very. We don't need this music, Justin.
it's very ominous.
Yes. I'd be okay with Jacoby Myers on a short-term deal, but everything you're hearing about Odell, for instance, is that he's looking for a multi-year deal and he wants security and he wants a true home. And it's like, am I going to roll the dice on a guy? I don't even know the last time he had a 1,000-yard season. I know he looked good in the playoffs, but then he didn't play last year, and I thought his whole free agency tour that he went on late last season was a bit of a La Raviel Magnifico in its own right. I don't need that guy around when I can just get a younger player in the draft.
I think it's like he's the kind of guy where it's not like any team should come after him, and you should have the self-awareness to know that he doesn't really fit who we are right now. But you are months more removed from the injury. If he's healthy, someone like the Bills that was sort of in the air is courting someone like Odell Beckham. I could see that differently than if like the Titans went and tried. I mean, not aiming that at you, Graver, but just like a team that's like in rebuild mode, losing a ton of guys. Do you build that team around Odell? No, he's a little cherry on top, maybe.
I'm very easily swayed. You know, I could just move him down. Although at this
point, 15 just seems so. I know there's a position scarcity, but that doesn't mean like.
I think it's because get to
makes
20
more valuable.
But look at 2025 and like where would Odell fit in there? Like I think that's more of a name thing
too. He would not drop below 30 in any scenario for me. Whether you would put him below Myers, Smith-Schuster, who are contributors, I could go either way. This is why I need Wes pushing back. Wes and I did this list, of course, for years and years. I'm curious where he would have had Odell. He was always a huge fan. But I do think some of these guys, like big-time veterans who've had a really high level of production and they're coming off injuries, those are actually the guys that end up becoming good values. Why was James Bradbury on the market and no one wanted him? I understand the Giants traded him, cut him late in the offseason, but he still was like a very high-level player, had shown it at certain points, and so those guys get a little extra for me. I think OBJ could matter.
Odell had, 1,000 yards nearly on the nose in 18 and 19, but that's averaging like 60 yards a game. His last big-time year where he was a guy that mattered was 2016. During the regular season, and it is fair. He was very good for the Rams down the stretch and in the playoffs before he blew his ACL. Interesting guy. He will get a job. I just thought he was a little high. How about you, Mark?
Are on receivers, like last year, everyone mocked the Jags for going huge on Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. Like, oh my God, you paid Kirk $17 million a year. I think that's like what Jacoby Myers is going to get. Oh my God, you paid Zay Jones $7 to $8 million a year. It's like, need receivers. Teams need like four receivers each, and those guys ended up being good.
And the Jags weren't getting the benefit of the doubt coming off what was a clown car season. Now it feels a lot different. Mark,
something that stood out to me. Well, first of all, I think Jacoby Myers, if I'm the Patriots, just keep him. Like, find a way to re-sign him, because I don't know where else they're going on that position. I always struggle with like the placement of Derek Carr, but I want to tell you one guy, because I think it's a good safety class, better than cornerback, but like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at number 7 is probably where he's not landing on a lot of other people's lists. I know you like him, but I like him a lot too, and I think he's the kind of guy, when I talk about this free agent class in general, it's like, do you swing for the fences for someone who might not give you the money you give? But this guy, I think, changes literally like sea changes the attitude of a defense, and I thought he did that for Philadelphia. It was awesome with the Eagles when he was healthy. And if the right team adds him, he's the kind of guy that you look back in January and be like, that was an absolutely key ingredient to our defensive building.
Safeties get no love, but it just feels like every team could use a guy like that can play slot corner, that can play safety, that can hit. He got fined for that hit he made in the Super Bowl. They didn't even penalize him. Remember that? That monster hit on the last drive of the game. So many safeties are available. Jordan Poyer, I think, sounds like he kind of wants out of Buffalo. He's talking about the state tax and that it's too cold. And Jesse
Some
Bates.
Some guys just want to play in Miami.
Right. I mean, he's been there a while. Jesse Bates is out there. Von Bell, Donovan Wilson, Jimmy Ward. So you can find safeties, and that might depress some of their values. But I appreciate that Dan asked you to come after me with something you didn't like, and you didn't even do that.
Well, yeah, I know. I said that Derek Carr at number 6. I have an issue with Derek Carr with teams labeling him as like, he's going to take us to the next level. He's going to keep you adequate.
See, this is what happens when we're handing out, you know, co-host titles like lollipops. You could just disregard my setup. I'm just a co-host, you know?
You like to be in
really
control.
Bothers you.
You have a real control thing, and we're pushing against you on that.
No, I would like to hear though, Mark. What is something that you disagreed with?
I kind of don't think that I don't like where Derek Carr is. I just don't like him at number six, and I think the problem is that he's a quarterback, so he's going to give you more than a safety or a cornerback, and it's not a great like market in general for these free agents, but. I the whole landing spot of Derek Carr is the thing of the offseason that I struggle with. The way he's going to be marketed to us until real games occur.
Well, we don't have to do with that. He's asking for about $35 million, which sounds right to me. That's about the level I think Carr would get. And I struggled. Both him and Daniel Jones, they're 5 and 6. I couldn't decide who do you put higher, Daniel Jones or Carr. And I have to admit they were both around 14, 15 initially. And then I started going through it, and I'm like, am I really going to have him lower than Mike McGlinchey, who's like a good starting tackle, but not like an amazing one? These aren't great names. Deron Payne, who had a big season for the Washington Commanders, but ultimately is like their third best defensive lineman, a good player. They're close enough to the level at their position that Derek Carr is at quarterback that you got to move him up to me. If you put him on the Jets, they're just a better team. I think above average or even average starting quarterbacks are just worth the premium.
I don't understand how you could have him out of the top 10. I mean, if you look at this exercise and in years past, and you look at the raw numbers, and I know that doesn't mean everything, and there are reasons why Derek Carr makes you scratch your head with some of the, you know, mistakes he makes and the fact that the Raiders have never really had a big run, but that's not just on him. They've never had a half decent defense when he was there. And you look at his production. His raw production through the seasons is excellent, especially for a guy that's still 31 years old. He's going to be 32 in week one. Absolutely. Like, you have Geno at 2. Let me just say the top 10. I'll go top 10 here. Let's give a little context, even though you should check it out on NFL.com. Lamar 1, obvious. Geno 2. Jason Hargrave, Javon Hargrave, the defensive tackle for the Eagles, 3. Orlando Brown, tackle, Chiefs, 4. You have Jones 5, Daniel Jones. You have Carr 6. You have Gardner Johnson 7, James Bradbury 8, Jesse Bates 9, and then Saquon 10. Like, Carr, for what he's proven and his durability and his ability to produce, he's so far ahead of all the other quarterbacks to me, including Geno Smith, that I would have him at 2 personally. And I know Geno is coming off a great year, but I would have had Geno. Maybe I would flip him probably. I'd probably have Geno behind Daniel Jones and Carr at 2.
I don't agree, but I also think that Derek Carr has been a lightning rod for debate for his entire career, because you can frame his production from certain angles, because every time you tweet about Derek Carr, Raiders fans come at you, oh, the comeback drive. It's like, but then from another angle, it's like, he's just Derek Carr, and I just don't see how he's going to be more than that. He's adequate.
Right.
It's also not a great list for quarterbacks, so him being second on the list doesn't do a lot for me.
I think Geno's ceiling is higher, his ceiling being kind of where he was last year, but I think he can get better. Maybe it's a type of quarterback I like. I think he really did learn a lot, because I think he is similar to Eli and Phillip Rivers to me in that he can play a style that on some years is going to have a lot of turnovers, but I think he can do everything. He can see the field so well. He can make next level throws. Derek Carr to me is like a little more mechanical. So is Daniel Jones, but they're all in the same ballpark. Jimmy G is the next one down at quarterback. And that is one of the defining traits of this free agency class. There's way more quarterbacks. Those three top ones, Daniel Jones, Geno, and Lamar, aren't, I don't think they're going to be free agents. They're going to get tagged and maybe in Lamar's case traded. But there really will be free agents.
So
Jimmy G is going to be a free agent. He's down at 29.
You have Garoppolo at 29, and I think that's good. I think that that's one of my takeaways when I looked at this with these teams that are looking for a quarterback, and there are a few where it's very obvious that they need QB help and they want to go get a veteran. If you don't end up with Aaron Rodgers, and if you don't get Derek Carr and Lamar Jackson doesn't head your way, and you're settling for Jimmy G, I think that's bad news. I think Jimmy G is a guy who is always hurt, and I don't think he'll ever produce at the level he's produced with Kyle Shanahan with that team. So I think the team that ends up getting him is going to sign up thinking we might get the that great looking or very good version that we've seen flashed in the last couple of years. But what you'll probably end up getting is a less productive but still injury prone dude. That's who I don't want the Jets to end up with. And I think other teams that are in the market for a veteran quarterback feel the same way. So I like where he is on the list here.
It'll be telling if they don't really go after him, considering their institutional knowledge that they've had over the years. I know LaFleur's not there, but Jacoby Brissett at 44. It was hard to rank these guys. Teddy's down at 63.
That felt high to me.
Still put him in.
That does feel. Is that, I mean, you? I know who we've got. When we go to 101, I don't have a problem with being far ahead of that guy. But Teddy up where he's done, where like we're talking about durability. His
That's
durability hurt the Dolphins a lot this past season. And his on-field performance is a B.
I value
tops.
These quarterbacks highly. It's one reason I don't think it'd be crazy for the Bears to like consider, you know, drafting a quarterback to upgrade or have both and then see what happens. Andy Dalton's at 83. I just feel like those guys are ultimately more valuable than the players around them. You know, if you have to do it in context of like Teddy Bridgewater or Kaiser White. Like, do you want your a good enough
who's 64
starting off-ball linebacker, or do you want like a really high-level backup quarterback, which is what I
well,
would
remember
consider
when we,
Teddy
we, they used to
I'd
have
rather
us,
have the backup quarterback.
They used to have us craft the top 100 lists for the summertime fill-in stuff, and like I would put eight quarterbacks because it's like right. I don't value any of these guys. So I get where you're coming from, but like I guess it's like if you're looking to fill certain positions, an average quarterback overtaking like a star offensive guard or tackle. I think that's
right.
where it's a tough debate.
Here's
on
the thing:
how
there's no
it.
Stars. Like where there aren't really stars on this list. It's not a star-driven list. It's role players, guys who will help you out and hopefully can start for you. Javon Hargrave, though, is an example, by the way, of a guy who was a free agent. We say buyer beware. That contract he signed with the Eagles last time around looks incredible. I don't think he was in our top 20. He signed 3 for $45, and he was one of the best players in the league, so it can happen.
Just cycling back to Teddy, I like there's a little butter knifing going on with the stats here with Teddy in your blurb. Teddy Two Gloves had career highs in yards per attempt, 8.6, and touchdown percentage, 5.1, on just 79 pass attempts for Miami, with both of his starts cut short by injury. That the last part of the sentence is the most important part of it. He can't stay healthy either. Give me Andy Dalton, who's 20 some odd spots lower.
I mean, he did start 29 games.
On the field.
He started every game. He started 29 games the two previous seasons, and the reasons he didn't start the other games was he was benched. Right.
Well, that's not a huge selling point, but okay.
I'm just saying he's coming. He doesn't have a long history of being injured. At least the last 3 years, he's been pretty healthy.
You know, with the Teddy thing, and year. I know you're riding high after the Geno victory, but I even went and looked up. Like,
I just think he's a good quarterback.
When we talked about like his Carolina year and how the Panthers should have just kept him, like his last 10 starts with Carolina, 9 touchdowns and 10 starts. They went 1-9 in the starts. His passer rating was below league average.
I'm not
average.
Box score scouting. I think you watched him. He had his shortcomings for sure, but he was a guy who was moving the football. He was the only person who ever moved the football in Matt Rule's offense.
Okay, you don't. It's I mean, not
that,
necessarily
that
box score.
Broncos season was not was no treat.
They lost every game he started down the stretch, right. And he didn't score a lot.
Why are we talking Teddy? Though
I'm just saying, you know, you have him so high. It did get on my radar. What else? What else for you, Mark?
I would ask one question, though, about the whole this. Would you ever flip the draft and free agency?
I would love to.
Because, see, we're talking about, like what if you...
It makes
what
more
if
sense.
You, right. I think it would hurt veterans, obviously, because a lot of these guys would not be needs. But you could fill in all these big spots, especially
that's why it won't
a quarterback.
Happen, by the way.
Well, right. Yeah. But the union wouldn't want it. But it just seems like it would clear up a lot of the weirdness around free agency and the deals that don't make sense at this point. Because it's like, my issue with these quarterbacks is if you go get a Jimmy G... Like, you're selling that, and then maybe you don't do that in the draft. You don't go trade up for the right guy in the draft or something, and you're stuck in middle tier mezzanine level.
I think it'd be a better for the league. The NBA has their draft first. It just makes more sense. I don't think it would actually hurt the players necessarily because I think it would create, like, ultra needs. It just doesn't make logical sense to me. Maybe it would hurt the players. I don't really know, but, like... These running backs, for instance, there's such good running backs available, but I do think, like, depending on the class that's out there in the draft, like, that'll diminish the spending because people feel like we can fill those holes.
I have a good value at running back.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And I think maybe he's a little low. Maybe I have him a little higher, but I can't really quibble because running backs, obviously, they have a different value in the open market because of their position. But Miles Sanders is a 56 for you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about one team in particular. Like, everybody's been connecting, oh, the Bills. They got to add some more talent. You know, oh, maybe they'll get Saquon. Oh, maybe they'll get Derrick Henry. How about Miles Sanders to a team like the Bills? And he's coming off a season where he was kind of back to himself. He had a lost 2021, and he had nearly 1,400 total yards this past season. He was a very big contributor to one of the best offenses in the league. Miles Sanders at 26 years old in week one. Give him to me, especially if the price is right.
Right. His question will be like, is he a difference maker? He put 1,300 yards up in his rookie year. He did it last season, but he was in the best situation ever. And is he much different than a Damian Harris?
Yeah, let's look at the rest
there?
Of the running backs. Where
Devin Singletary, who I like. These are all lower on the list. David Montgomery and Rashad Penny.
You have Montgomery outside your top 100. I think that I'd have a gripe with that.
To me, he's kind of just a guy. But he does
Let's look at what's happening down in that 80s and 90s. Right. I just think he fits in that world.
I had so many running backs there, too. Mostert, Jamal Williams is there. Rashad Penny, who was hurt last year. There's just so many guys available. But to me, there's three difference makers. I think running backs have been underrated on some level. And I think Saquon and Josh Jacobs and Pollard, to a lesser degree, it'll be interesting to see. Pollard, I might have had above Saquon. And I certainly would have had above Josh Jacobs. Raiders fans won't like that, but he's coming off of a really serious broken leg and ankle injury. But those three guys, to me, are difference makers. You can't tell me they're worth less than slot receiver or Roy Robertson Harris just got 3 for 30. I just can't buy that they're worth less than Roy Robertson Harris.
Going back to the first name, like I can't be on board with Josh Jacobs being behind Odell Beckham on this list. Jacobs, I think, is had an excellent season, had a lot of touches, but I think he's somebody, he's still just 25 years old. He's a guy that I would, that's the type of deal I would do in free agency. Guys that are in their mid-20s at running back, that's, I'm okay with that. You have Saquon at 10. He's obviously your highest running back. I'm kind of fascinated to see what kind of deal Saquon gets if he doesn't come back with the Giants. And I know Pollard, who you have, what do you have Pollard
23.
Here? 23. How much of the leg injury effect in his ranking? Would he be significantly higher?
Yeah, he'd be in the top 15.
Okay, that makes sense to me. As long as the rehab goes right, I would be stunned that the Cowboys didn't bring him back and then just ask Zeke to take a massive haircut. And Zeke could use a haircut.
I mean, also, like, let's move on from Zeke. And I honestly, yes. But Tony Pollard, right. I think you could. These guys are all franchise tag, clear cut tag candidates, I think, for each of those running backs.
That's true. Saquon might not get the tag just because they have to use it for Daniel Jones.
Right.
Josh Jacobs would be interesting. I mean, he was another guy they didn't give the fifth-year option. Like, that came back to haunt the Giants with Daniel Jones.
But the Raiders are sitting out there with no quarterback right now.
Here's what I'd be a little worried about with Jacobs, though. 393 touches last year. By far the most of his career. He's been pretty durable as a pro. But did the Raiders get his best year? You know, that is easily leading
the
league. That's
the whole thing in a lot of ways with these free agents. Let's take a break, and then we'll do something fun.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yep. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. Justin Graver, the Grave Digger. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
Dan?
What's up, buddy?
Just keep your finger above that button the whole show. I don't care what else you're doing.
Let's do something here. Let's spin the wheel of destiny with the player we're going to talk about. We've got the 101, the top 101 here. Eliminate the guys we've already talked about. Spin the wheel, and wherever it lands, we're going to have a conversation about that player. Hit it.
All right, here we go. Mm.
God, I hope it's someone interesting. Good backfire.
You can always like just spin off to a side conversation. That's part of the fun.
We got number 98, Larry Ogunjobi.
Oh, that's great.
Go ahead, Greggy.
So he's a guy though that everyone gets excited because he makes those couple of splash plays every year. But then you see like, oh, the Browns kind of didn't really want him back, and the Bengals I think were happy. I mean, the Bengals were happy with him, but not as happy as they were with B.J. Hill. And like, he's one of those guys, when you keep coming back to free agency, to me, that's a little bit of a red flag.
Signed that huge deal with the Bears that fell through because of the physical.
Spin it again. Nice little combo there.
Short, I thought we were going to just, like, have some Steelers, like, defense talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
40, Ben Powers.
Segment is dying.
I like the getting the random names because
offensive guard, age 26.
Okay, so this
week one.
This gets to why you know, when you peek behind the curtain, sometimes the 101's a little dicey. Where am I really coming from grading all these guards? Of course, I talk to some people. I look at PFF, and you try to like put them, but like, how do I grade and put Ben Powers, for instance, versus Jacoby Brissett or Brandon Graham and these players.
I could give you a suggestion. Yes. You didn't ask me before. Tape Dog, just do the work. Grind it out. Hours and hours and weeks of dogging.
But even, that's not what Greg was looking for.
Even then, it's like, what exactly am I looking for totally? Like, I do talk to people who
the
know
eye
more.
In the sky don't lie.
And trust people that no more ultimately. But I struggled with these guards. For instance, Powers was fighting for a training camp spot at this time a year ago or going into the season. Was not even a locked-in guard. Then ended up having a season that PFF went crazy for. The Ravens said he was their best offensive lineman. He has position versatility. He kind of came out of nowhere. And so I actually put him, I think, first among all the guards. But it's like him. It's Nate Davis, your guy in Tennessee, who I was pumping you for information throughout the year. It's a year-long process. But these guys who are like slightly above average guards, but do you really want to like spend a lot of money? To me, like, I'd rather spend my money at other positions. Get an offensive line coach.
Oh, I'm with that, but I think if you're like, let's say you're the Rams and you don't have a lot of draft picks and you have to fix that line, like someone like Ben Powers becomes the guy that 12 articles are written about a week in the summer if he becomes a figure.
But do those guys pay off that much, though? I feel like if you can just have a good coaching staff and you develop your own guys, that's why I have him low as like the best guard available.
Yeah, and some would say, you know, the wheel segment of this conversation is not going well, but that was the number one guard on the market. So you tell me, was it not a bad place?
Like, so how would you rank very well. Nate Davis, Isaac Solomalo, Dalton Reisner, Ben Powers, and let's throw in Ethan Pochick, who's, you know, really more of a center here.
I would go
here.
16, 24, 38, 40. You had Powers
in
right.
Order?
51.
How about this?
In the order that you just said the names.
Alphabetically.
Yeah. That also.
Scatter them through the list. No one's going to notice the guards, Ralph, just simply alphabetically.
I mean, is one time? Guard changing your life? I want multiple more spins.
One more
I
like time.
It. All right, spin it again. This needs to be something, someone that everyone
Why?
Knows.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Just
This
more
is
fun.
The time for Ben Powers to get his airtime. This is great.
Number 70, Damian Harris.
Okay. All right. We did touch on Damian, though, didn't
we? Well,
barely, though. Damian was on your fantasy team, though, Dan.
He was once upon a time. He's a good – I think he's better – but he kind of fell out of favor, maybe not favor with Belichick, but he certainly Ramondre Stevenson kind of became the guy there. But Harris, I think, is a good 1-2 punch type dude. I don't know if I want him leading my
Perfect.
Backfield.
I think he's down at 70. I think it's a nice
guy. I know.
Value.
I think he's an amazing free agent pickup. Like I'd actually rather have him than Miles Sanders, maybe, now that I think.
How about
the
both?
Upsides.
How about those guys as a tandem? That'd yep. be perfect.
Like just as a pure runner, explosiveness, making him a – he's one of the best – pure runners, I think the Patriots have ever had, but he's been hurt and a little limited in passing game.
I'm going to just do a little wiggle here, a little audible. I'm going to talk about the guy ahead and below Damian Harris. Fletcher Cox. How about that? Fletcher Cox will be 32, was a major part of what was, until Super Bowl 57, a dominant defensive line for the Eagles. Brandon Graham is also in the mix here. These pass rushers, Greg, they're not going to get big deals, but they should get those 1, maybe 2 year deals as a rotational type guy.
Yeah, I had Cox almost off the list because he was at first, and then I looked, and at the end of the year, he was really playing well. Graham is going to be in the top 40. Is Graham on the list? We've had these debates with guys who are voided or not because technically, I think Graham is
at some point he will be there though.
He will. He is there at 45. There's different variations.
And then we have at number 71, Alan Lazard. Interesting, Aaron Rodgers, as you wrote, Greg. He was big last season, off season before the season started. Like, this is the dude. He's my number one receiver. What kind of market would he have? Would the Packers want to bring that guy back?
He
for
said he was
Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love.
He said he was going to be bougie about where he went. That he's had a great experience in Green Bay. He's not going to go to some half baked operation.
Like I kind of. Qualified as like every team needs 3 or 4 receivers. Poochie. How many that are available you can put into one of those rotations and he's gonna be a good player for you? Lazard was kind of my cutoff.
Yeah,
I like Darius Slayton a lot.
I had
in the 50s. I like DJ Chark. Like they can be in that rotation. After that, then you're kind of guessing. There's Mac Collins. There's Jarvis Landry if he can stay healthy. Nelson Aguilar.
Bunch of guys.
Sterling Shepard, I'm waiting for to get healthy.
Just a bunch of guys.
I want to spin the wheel again. I don't care what Dan says. Let's go.
No, I didn't say we shouldn't spin the wheel.
Oh, good.
You suggest.
Let's get a higher
I
number.
Said let's get a name that matters.
They all matter. They're human beings, you know.
I'm just going to spin the wheel 150 times. Like, what are we doing here?
31.
Mike has to talk about this.
Gesicki.
Okay.
I think Mike Gesicki, who was, you know, talked about last summer, is like, oh, he doesn't fit into the Mike McDaniel offense. Like, Mike Gesicki, there are a couple interesting tight ends in general in this whole free agent crop, and I think he, in the right offense, is a difference maker. I like him. I don't know why Miami.
Some people say he's Mike Gesicki. I don't think that.
I don't know who would say that.
Stop.
I think
you
he's
just
way,
said it.
Well, some people thought that when he wasn't producing, but yeah, maybe he just needs a
Wait,
fresh
so,
start.
Beyond, is he your second tight end after Schultz?
Ingram is right above him. Okay. So there are three good tight ends. Schultz got franchise tagged last year. Was very productive. Once he was back from injury with Dak Prescott, like I think they kind of have to keep him. And then Evan Ingram had a nice season. I think they will franchise tag him. But Gesicki is a good example of one of my things is people just make these rankings and they just talk about the previous year and they don't look at the whole body. When they were just using him as a slot receiver, he's a great tight end slot receiver, which to me is a very useful trait. You know who could use him? It's your New York Jets because they have a lot of tight ends.
We have so many, yes.
But they don't have one that matters to me. That like is a plus starter. They're fine.
Tyler Conklin.
They improved greatly from like one of the worst groups in the league to like now we're okay. And maybe they're a team that should draft someone with. But
they have Osama. Yeah. I mean, I think they don't have a quarterback. Is the issue more than the
tight end?
To
me, I think they would be. They have a perfectly serviceable tight end.
That would be an insane. They could run like 3 tight ends. Like, with those guys,
how many of those guys are making big play? I guess Conklin was insane.
Osama has in the past.
Osama is not a pass catcher. You know, he's a blocking guy. How many yards did he had? 200 yards last
year. Yeah, they were using. I don't know if he's got a future with the team. I know he probably didn't sign up for the role he ended up having.
Maybe, but the I thought Jets Conklin were the wrong did some choice things there.
You know, I like Evan Engram, by the way. I think you have Engram one spot ahead of Gesicki. And I think the Jaguars would be crazy to let him get away because
they both
thought,
seem like they want each other.
Yeah, that feels like a thing where if he ever got to the open market and you had an offense that could use him the right way, a.k.a. don't ask him to be a blocking type tight end, let him be a playmaker. I think he's an ascending guy that's gotten out of the Giants mud and found his way with Jacksonville.
Well, he's one of the types of guys that I actually – you can find value in free agency. It's possible. They signed him last year for 1 year, $9 million. I mean, that was a nice deal. Now
great
they're just going to tag him for a similar amount. He was number 50 on my list a year ago, and I'm looking at this list. Hmm. And, you know, I underrated him. And then I'm also seeing Hassan Reddick wasn't even in the top 30.
Well, that's like there are guys like that sitting
out. It happens. Yep. It happens.
It happens. Who? All right, who in this list, Greg, are you most worried about becoming the Hassan Reddick of 2023? Because there will be somebody. Is there anybody that you really – you had him lower and you're like, ooh, am I way off on this one? I got to roll forward. I got the movers coming. I got a bunch of boxes.
I mean, I had it.
My wife's got to do the plumbing.
There was a lot of issues this weekend that we were
Who do you
we
worry about that can greatly exceed in terms of value based on where you have them? Let me see if there's somebody.
Isaiah Wynn is at 51. He's a Patriots first-round pick that at times showed a very high level of play. Those are the types of players that worry me. But he's coming off some injuries and was definitely out of favor with the Patriots. But, like, he's shown it. Maybe in the right system, he could do it. He's one. Did I underrate some of these pass rushers? I don't know. Samson Ebukam was pretty good last year.
What if you get like a late career or a latter career, like Leighton Van Der Esch explosion with the right team? Hmm. I like Van Der Esch.
Poor Jamal Williams, 17 touchdowns this year, and he's at 78. Our friend Jamal Williams.
He was one of those where I was like doing the third pass, and I was like, shoot, I don't even have Jamal Williams on this ranking at all. After he came on our show,
right.
He's got to come on. Let's zoom him up to 78. Julian Love's an interesting safety. You kind of came out of nowhere for the Giants last year. Had a nice season.
So many
he's
safeties.
At 79. A lot of safeties.
Robert Woods made the top 100. I was
shocking.
Like an old guy there. Bobby Trees. How about this? Is it when you...
If you've been on the Around the NFL podcast, you get preferential treatment.
All right, that's fair.
Only makes sense.
Or if we think you're coming on the Around the NFL podcast and then a safety shows up instead...
Roll out the carpet for you.
Is it the way to judge whether or not you got it right, quote-unquote? Is it how the guy plays in the upcoming season? Or is it when, let's say... I'll throw a name out there. If Justin Houston ends up getting... A nice deal, for instance. He's too old. Let me go with Tyler Rapp ends up getting a much bigger deal than you thought he would. Does that mean it's already your list was off?
It's not a prediction.
Based on what teams think.
I think if you really wanted to do it, you'd have to like look a year from now and compare it to other lists, who I was higher on versus them and how those players did. Like Zach Allen was one, as I did the list, Cardinals. And no one, benefited more from Hard Knocks than Zach Allen. I know no one watched Hard Knocks.
He's at 14.
Yeah, he's at 14. He kept us sneaking up the list, higher and higher, higher and higher. And I was like, that's who I would want in free agency.
What was it?
A
just
guy
for
like Zach Allen.
The
I bet I'm higher on
800
him.
800 million people that didn't see it. What did Zach Allen do on Hard Knocks that?
He just seemed
so
like a good guy to have around. He was like, you know, trying to be the next J.J. Watt, and he played really well. He was one of their few players, and he had a monster season. Vance Joseph also, to me, was highly impressive. I think if you were an owner and you watched him, you're just like, that's a freaking dude that I would want in front of my players.
We did the rare thing where he went back to the team where he failed as head coach. You don't see that. I dig that. Lobbying for that.
This was Mark's... take.
You got to be open to go back
Justin
to the
Graver
old employer.
Justin remembered this take of yours last week when we mentioned the Vance Joseph news, and he said that was Mark's long-standing take, and both Dan
true?
And I didn't remember. We just
said
it again.
Multiple times where it's like you go and the Peter principle thing, you fail as the head coach, but there's that opening. You go back to a
come
place
back
you
home.
Know. Come back home.
I was impressed
home.
With his leadership. But Zach Allen. Let's go, Zach Allen. Draymond Jones. Let's go. Those are guys I'm pretty high on.
I like, since I'm looking at it, Levante David at 19, 33 years old. But I could see him having, even though it didn't work out with the Rams and Bobby Wagner. If you're a team that's looking for a veteran that could come in and deliver some high-level play for a year or two, Levante David, you could do a lot worse than him.
Right. That's the thing is like, people are always looking for the young guys they can spend huge money on. But you can't. Bobby Wagner was a great deal last year. Ultimately, like, he performed for more than he was worth.
Right. Now he's not on the team anymore. Very strange.
Very strange. Yeah.
Greg, number 24. Uh-oh. Marcus Davenport. I feel like that's a tough guy to know, like, to spend a lot of money on, because he seems like he could be awesome, but then he's also unavailable half the time.
He would have been in the top 10 if it was a year ago. I've always been a huge fan of Davenport. He's the kind of player I like. He's like a poor man's Jadeveon Clowney. He's just so strong, and he creates pressure, and he's just like, doesn't need to be subtle because he just makes other guys look, but he never stays healthy, and the Saints were very
I'm glad to see you finally took Jadeveon Clowney off this list, because
he's there.
He's there.
He's at 41? What is this?
Well, I can't shout at the cloud. I can't shake my fists anymore about this one.
He had a decent season last year.
He also walked out on the team at the end of the
year. Well, that's why I put him down at 41. I think that's lower.
How much did it deduct that he quit on the team?
Let's check some other lists. I haven't yet.
How much did that drop him?
Now it's time for me to check because I don't want them get. Let's. Where does PFF have Clowney? Let's just find them.
What is this? What does this
they
mean?
Damn, at 31.
Okay, I'm just saying. Like, am I crazy?
But he's always been like a PFF darling. That guy.
I think also there's a lack of edge rushers, and maybe you're just taking the position and moving it up a little bit because they have only Davenport ahead of him.
It's rough out there. If you're looking for an edge rusher, you're looking to the draft or trades. There's going to be some good names being cut that'll make this list look a little sexier.
You do have Yannick Ngakoue at 33. That's a pretty good edge rusher.
Good point. Forgot about him.
Spin the wheel again.
Oh, good.
As we wrap this up. We're bringing it in for a landing.
Caleb McGarry. Let's get Caleb McGarry in there.
Number 30. Oh. Well, I just brought him up.
That is Yannick Caleb Ngakoue. McGarry.
Wait, okay. Who is it?
I landed on Yannick Ngakoue, who I just
met. That's Bridget again.
He blew it.
One more time.
It's a little worrisome he's like going to be on his fifth team in 4 years, but he does produce.
53, Marcus Peters.
Oh.
Marcus Peters. He's had a nice career. How old is he going
to
be?
Tempted to put him higher? Or?
I just wanted to see how long could we stay silent and Dan just talk about Marcus
Peters. He's only 30. Okay. Well, he's back from the ACL, and he's a starting corner. Okay.
I think he's a starting
corner.
Good spot. And actually, the fact that he stepped in last
53.
Year and was like immediately back to being solid enough, he just seems like one of those guys so you can kind of like – I don't know. They age really well until they don't, and then they're done. But he's just like a player. You know, I'm not saying it right, but he's kind of like a dog. He knows how to play. You could put him on any team, and he can take up snaps for you. There's actually some decent cornerbacks available above him. Jonathan Jones, I mentioned. Jamel Dean is a good starter who's in my top 20 for the Bucks. He's a solid player. Bradbury.
And now, without further ado, we discuss – As he does every year, he likes to have a name brand, Greggy, at 101. And this year is no different. Drum roll, please.
This was too easy.
The number 101 ranked player in Greg's NFL free agents countdown is Baker Mayfield.
I mean, isn't he a perfect 101?
He's the ideal.
He is. Not accurate, but it is perfect.
Why
that
do you mean
want to
it's
have.
Not accurate? I think it's perfect.
What if I told you that there was another quarterback in his last 17 starts, when you measure the two QBs' last 17 starts?
I did think about this guy, too.
That this quarterback has more touchdown passes, fewer turnovers, a higher passer rating, more passing yards, a higher completion percentage, fewer sacks, less drama. Would you know who I was talking about? Yeah.
I don't know. Come on.
I'm just saying. Those are all facts. That's not my opinion. All that data favors Darnold.
I'm a human.
All of it.
Absolutely right. And if he just hadn't made that last start of the season, which I happened to watch, I'm a human. And sometimes the last.
I'm a human, he
sometimes
says.
Sometimes the last thing you saw weighs too heavily. I will admit to having that problem. Like, Miles Sanders was a kind of a problem for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. A couple bad runs, couldn't keep him in, bounced to the outside. That hurt him. Sam Darnold had that great run where I'm like, wow, this is everything we ever wanted out of Sam Darnold. He's really better than ever. And then he showed up in week 18. I think it was against the Saints. I watched that game, and he was a total disaster. And it was just like, I can't trust this guy. Can't trust him.
I think he saved his career, though, as a number two. I don't think you can go in with a starter if you're Sam Darnold. But I think Baker Mayfield, too. At midseason, we had a conversation that Baker Mayfield may never play again because of the Baker Mayfield experience on top of the bad play. The Rams thing was kind of a blessing. It was I think, saved his career and got him another number two contract. The Saints are talking about him as a potential starter, which sounds like fool's gold.
Well, so here, did you see Baker's last start of the season, for instance, against the
Baker's
Seahawks.
Had some ugly starts.
Well, my point is not, I don't want to get to go down this road.
By the way,
people hate when I do this.
He finished 5-for-15 for 43 and 3 turnovers.
Terrible.
And that was after hitting his last 2 or 3 passes. I think he had 11
yards. He had the Christmas Day start where he was 22
that
for 25.
That was Sam Darnold I'm talking about. Yeah, Mayfield.
So, let me just say this, that I'm not saying that Sam Darnold should be 101. I'm saying, I think I saw your raw list and you had Darnold at 114 or so. I think that's where Baker should be as well. I think they're basically the same. Like, if you want a guy who's a backup, but if you want a little more sizzle on your steak, Baker 101.
I thought about Minshew because he felt like a nice 101.
That's who I wrote. I have it written right here. Minshew should be 101.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to give Minshew some credit. I'm actually going to I would rather have Minshew than Baker.
You got him at 95.
I got him a little higher up. I got him.
But I like Minshew.
For this exercise, Baker's the perfect 101.
Sure.
Or you go to Sean Gibson. There's nothing to talk about.
I don't have an issue with it. I just was pointing out that statistically, and it's not just staring at box scores or whatever, it's, Baker will give you some moments.
I take Mayfield's highs over Darnold's highs, but I take neither of them as a starting quarterback.
I think Baker could be like a Fitzpatrick type guy where he can come in for 3 or 4 games and give you some juice. I mean,
the Saints are talking about making him the starter potentially.
I think the Saints have the Saints are out of options in general. There's interest in Baker Mayfield.
I
think I had to do a top 25 free agents of 2022, before the season started. And, Baker was in the top 5. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that long ago that I had a completely different opinion.
I'm not blind to it. I think
it's changed.
There's something about Baker that people gravitate towards, and it's when he has those games, people get excited about him.
I think
he might be the best 101 ever in the sense that
Gino was rocketed all the way up from 101 to number 2.
Well, I just mean in juice and just I like the idea of having someone in there that spurs debate.
I think he's limited. Yeah, I think, and maybe you think I overrate Gino, and I definitely have a certain type. I like the quarterbacks that are really quarterbacking out there, and I feel like that's where Baker. I don't know if he's ever going to get there in terms of making full field reads but he can give you some juice. He can give you some juice.
But Gino, I disagreed with you that I think Derek Carr is better value, but I have Gino right around top 5 as well. At 6,
Derek
I would have.
Derek Carr does that too.
Actually, you know what? I'd have Gino over Daniel Jones. I got to be honest with you. So I would have him at maybe 5 on this list. But otherwise, Greg, you've done great work. Mark, do you have any final thoughts?
I am bowled over by the work Greg has done. It's been excellent.
Yes.
And continues to be.
You know what doesn't bowl me over is that one extra week that we work now because of the 18th season.
You feel
101 season really start. There's no cruise for me anymore. It's ruined my little spot.
That's a toughie.
That is
just got to get in there.
It's a bad beat, but you're also extremely fortunate.
Incredibly fortunate.
We are very lucky to do what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still talking about the 18th week of the season. Maybe we need to table that convo.
It's not
changing. It's going to get longer. So
we're basically the only people left still talking about it.
It's not guaranteed. This is continuing.
All right, Justin, do you have any thoughts before we say goodbye?
Wow, Robert Woods on the list. Come on,
it's personal for you.
Taylor Lewan, not on the list.
Yeah, that was Greg was breaking news last week on that. I mean, this is a guy.
When Taylor
Lewan
said he doesn't know if he can function in his everyday life and he's not sure if he ever wants to play football, that's a gots to go off the list situation.
Fair.
He was on it until then.
So he's also got a hit podcast of his own, by the way. So
That's where we got the quotes from. And then he was I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to.
Did you dig into all the other players that have podcasts on this list to see where their mental
Patrick Peterson. For example,
he's a sharp.
Let's get Taylor Lewan on the list.
Woods is another year removed from that surgery, which is a hard one to recover from. And he had a couple moments where it's think you could. He passed my can you throw him into a good team as your third or fourth receiver, and he's going to get you 600 yards and help your team? I think he could
see the Rams bringing him back.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp was
locker room leader.
making noise about it.
Bobby Trees. Also, he took a picture with my son. So that's important.
That's nice.
That colors your ranking. Now, Taylor Lewan is 31. He's a three-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, but he hasn't literally been able to stay on the field. And he was saying...
that doesn't hurt, you know, Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater's played football in the last few years, and he wasn't saying that he might not be able to continue to play football. Taylor Lewan, two out of the last 3 years, played 5 games or less. And it's coming off a big injury. Right. He might not play. It sounded like he was going to retire. That was part of the reason.
I agree with that. It did sound like
it. It sounded like he doesn't want to play football anymore. He's got a thriving podcast.
Can always add
how popular is this podcast? It's come up multiple times. Is it?
Bussin' with the Boys.
It's pretty popular.
Oh, yeah, Bussin' with the Boys
well.
Is his?
He's doing very
it's
well.
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
It's he's doing the Pat McAfee.
I've yet to catch an ep.
But. Will Compton is also like a major, him and Taylor Lewan did this together, and Will always gets offended because everyone just says it's Taylor's podcast, and like Will does a lot of the legwork. But
tough sitch.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's thrilled we're discussing that right now.
Right. I'm, it happens on all podcasts, even to all three co-hosts.
Right.
This one.
Just not good. It bothers me.
But why is it so important to you?
I'll talk to my agent about it.
Host is
you understand
your agent.
Greg and I did not engineer that. We yeah. just discovered that. I don't want
but
that
host
as, my,
also,
as my title necessarily.
I feel like host, you are the host of this podcast.
Yes.
But when you think of host in the traditional sense,
sure.
that's sort of like an old media thing where it's like the host doesn't have their own opinions necessarily.
Right.
They're not. They're yeah. just like setting people up and right. this and that. And that's not you either. So
yeah, you want to be put
saying.
In that box?
I think
the same.
I think I am a new age host. I think innovator.
That's strong.
The way
new
I
age
would put it.
Is not. It wouldn't.
That's these are all terms that people have thrown out.
When did we start?
Which
how long is this podcast?
What is the appropriate term for what Mark and Greg do on the show? If it's not co-host,
good question.
I would ask that.
Can you give me one show like a day to think about it, and then I'll
yeah
right.
I'll throw
I'll,
out some
I'll throw
ideas.
One out. Analyst. But that feels
but they're too important for that.
Sidekick.
Right. No, I think yeah, I think what's crucial is you need to make a line of demarcation, Justin.
Right.
That shows that we are lesser than and it makes Dan feel better.
Yeah, Justin throwing out sidekick.
Yeah.
That would work. That would work.
Feeling himself.
That would work. I think he would like that.
What if I run an analysis on all the minutes that each of you have spent talking on this show?
Well, that would be I don't want to find out.
I don't think that would help anyone.
All right. That's it. Good stuff. Check it out, Greggy. Excellent work. Top 101. We'll be back on Wednesday, and we're going to start digging into the coaches, GM's press conferences, the news. Maybe Lamar Jackson gets traded. That would be nice. A lot coming up. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.